DaveArenicki.com. Check out the website. Astro Dave, we call him. He likes keeping us updated with all the things astronomical. How are you, mate?
Good to be with you, Bilko. Thank you.
He's had his second shot, so we're going to plug on through as best we can. Oh, mate, I know the feeling. AZ, mate, makes you feel a little bit woozy. I've got to bring this up. It's pretty exciting. ScoMo mentioned this the other day. 2026, we finally will be putting our flag and rover on the moon. I know it's, 40 years after everyone else, but Australia gets to have our bit of, land up there now.
Yeah, we do, yep. Yeah, Scott Morrison and his government there have allocated $50 million in funding to develop a rover through the Trailblazer program. We're going to go to the moon. We're going to build it here. We're going to send it to the moon, and we're going to pick up soil samples there. And, Bilko, the reason for that is it contains oxide, and the aim is to extract the oxygen from the soil.
Didn't we didn't we drag oxygen out of there, like back in the 60s when we collected moon rocks then?
No. We didn't know anything about those sort of things then.
Right.
When they came back here from the end of the moon missions, we thought that was it for the moon. We didn't know there was anything there to go back to. Dead, dry, barren world. But now we find that there's a lot more that we missed that we didn't know then, because we didn't have the technology to examine the evidence as much as we can today, the new types of analysis we're doing. So now we're going back there. It means that we're footprinting ourselves, we're rubber stamping our place in the space age, and we finally have an up-and-coming space agency now, or hope we have anyway, in South Australia that's going to guide all this stuff. So we'll have a rover built in the next year or two, employing people here in our own country, and making our own way. It's sad, I think, when you look back at it, that Woomera once was a thriving a space industry we had here. We were number three in the world at one stage. But it does mean that we are now, we are the last developed country in the world, sadly, to have a
That's
space.
Right. Even India's beaten us, mate.
Pardon?
Even India's beaten us.
Yeah, everyone, yeah. No, we're in there, at least. Let's see how it develops anyway. Yeah. Hey, I just hope, this doesn't sort of meander along like we've done in the past and go nowhere. Oh, I think it might be all right.
Yeah, we need to keep the cash injection going on this one. And, of course, I mean, it's old news now, but Shatner returned. He didn't die up in space on Jeff Bezos' spacecraft, although I have a bit of contention about the whole thing. There's been a lot of words bandied about that because they've gone up there, William Shatner and all the crew there can now be called astronauts. I don't agree, mate.
No, I do. I'm with you on that one. The astronauts are the ones that do spend time up there. This was only 4 minutes in weightlessness condition over, 105K?
Yeah, that's right.
It's like saying, I've just driven up from Sydney. I've just driven up. And there's the city limit sign. There's Brisbane. Let's just say Queensland across the border. I've crossed the border. I've turned around. I've come back home. Now, if somebody said, "What have you been doing?" I spent some time in Queensland. I didn't really. I just turned around at the border and came back home. And that's what the. But look, let's not take it away from what happened.
No.
Because this guy came back with a look on his face that your money can't buy that. And, the expression of joy he had, and the fascination that William Shatner was showing after what he saw out of that window in only a 4 minute flight. I mean, it just shows you that you can't explain this. You've got to go there. And that's exactly what he said when he came back. He had tears in his eyes. Yeah. We sat there and watched it. I was up at 2:30 in the morning watching this.
I think Jeff Bezos realises, getting William Shatner on board, realising that now he's observed space from the real point of view and not just the television studio, that he will be the biggest advocate now for space tourism. And that was the plan, I think.
Oh, of course it was. You couldn't buy that sort of publicity. The whole world was watching that. So he turned around to Bezos and he put his arm on his shoulder and he said, "Thank you." He said, "You've given me the most profound experience that I can imagine." And the last line was the one that got me. He said, "I hope I never recover from this." He said, "I hope that I maintain what I feel now. I never want to lose it." So there you go.
I don't think he will, mate. I don't think he will.
No. 90 years of age, the oldest person in space.
Notice Prince William's blasted all these space millionaires saying we need to spend that money on the environment. I mean, that's another issue, William.
Don't start me on this.
I won't, mate.
Pull me up if I go too far with this one. Here we go with people, well-known people, who are talking about things they really know nothing about. And this sort of irritates me when they pick out people like Bezos and Elon Musk and Richard Branson. So it did happen, you know, at Kensington Palace last week. Prince William there was talking about, what's going on in the world. And, of course, he came out with a comment that they should be putting their mind and their money on fixing up and trying to repair this planet, not trying to go to the next place that we can go and live. He's got the whole thing wrong. And sadly about this, you know, people listen to people like him.
Yeah.
And he's got a position in society, of course. And he's well respected. And people listen to that and they're convinced that, you know, we must be right. But let's look at some facts first before we go any further.
Sure.
When you look at Jeff Bezos, that's one of them he's targeted here. Now, look, Jeff Bezos this year has donated or is donating more than anybody else has ever done before. $10 billion has just been put into the bank to launch what's called the Bezos Earth Fund. Now, listen, hang on a minute. This is what Prince William was talking about. The Bezos Earth Fund is looking after the environment. $10 billion. Now, Bezos has also committed $100 million to a program called Feeding America that helps 200 food banks. Another donor, Jack Dorsey. Look, Bilko, this guy was a co-founder of Twitter, another multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
He's just put $1 billion. $1 billion into a fund that's going to be distributed to 100 non-profits. Look,
these guys are focused on the world. They just know that to better our understanding, and we're going to expand our research into space, that's just how we understand our human condition. The more we realise what's going on out there will help us back home. You've got to be a bit more broad-minded, Prince William.
Well, you've got to understand, you know, that most of the things you use in your everyday life, and we talked about this with you before, that as includes your radio station and anything else that's technically operated, you know, down to your phone.
Right.
When we look at it, most of the things we're using are a direct spin-off from the space program. And keep in mind as well that for every $1 we spend on the space program, we get $7 to $14 back into the economy.
Can't argue with that. Amazing.
That's good value.
So, we respect you, Prince William, but just maybe get your people to up your research and realise, you know, don't just talk from the top of your hat, which a lot of people like to do.
It's a bit of a one-sided point. And,
I know.
It's an imbalance that should be, you know, looked at, I think.
David, this has got me excited, mate. Turning 70 is that fantastic sci-fi movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, man.
What an amazing movie. You know, this is ranked as one of the 10 greatest sci-fi films of the 20th century, Bilko, by the American Film Institute. What a groundbreaking movie. Black and white, and a lot of people mistake it for Robbie the Robot. Nothing to do with him. This is one of those movies that had the right people and the right storyline. It came along in 1951. Now, it stars Michael Rennie as Klaatu, a traveller from 250 million miles away, which in today's terms is not real fun.
No, it's not.
But he came here with a message, and that message was the message of peace. And when they landed there on the lawns there at Washington, D.C., and the door opened up, and he came out. He had something in his hand. And when he outstretched his arm to give it to our president, he was shot.
Oh, that's right.
This is typical of the reaction at the time. Now, we're talking about the Cold War era. Fear and paranoia were starting to grip the world. And we also were coming out of World War II. But the main feature of the movie was Gort, this huge robot that came with him.
He was massive, wasn't he?
Massive, right?
Yeah.
And I believe it was the doorman of the Chinese Grauman's Theatre they used there. He was around 7 feet tall at the time. It was a rubber suit, too. I read up on this. He had to get in it from behind there, and they had to pin it closed with a couple of bobby pins or something, or safety pins. But he couldn't stay in there very long. It was very hot. But it was one of those movies starring not only Michael Rennie, but Billy Gray. Now, Billy Gray went on to become Little Bud, the boy in the Father Knows Best
series.
Yes,
that's right, yeah.
On television. But what a groundbreaking movie. One that was made for the times and because of the times. And everything after that, you might remember, followed where we were invaded. Instead of a benign visit, we were here by... or visited by people. War of the Worlds, for instance, was a movie where we were attacked by Martians, you name it. Gorgo was
that,
there.
That became, yeah, that became that 1950s science fiction fair that sort of became the popcorn movies. But this one as a message still stands up today. You look at it now and you'll think it was written only, 5 years ago.
Yeah, an amazing movie. Any of your listeners who have not seen The Day the Earth Stood Still, please go and have a look at it. But can I warn you, please listen to this. Do not look and watch or buy or rent the second one.
Oh, no.
The remake.
Yeah.
Have you seen the remake?
That was nothing like the original movie. It was sanitized down and,
Oh, God. I think it would be the worst remake of any sci-fi movie, you know, as opposed to The War of the Worlds. Now, that wasn't too bad with Tom Cruise in it. At least it followed a similar storyline. But when you go and look at The Day the Earth Stood Still, you can watch it on YouTube. Keep in mind that it's going back 70 years and, you know, the special effects at the time were good. But a great movie in itself. It stood the test of time and one of the 10 greatest science fiction movies ever made.
It's great. And it's just the message is so apt for now. It's so apt for now. I love it. Anyway, it turned 70, so you should get yourself into that one again. One final thing, David. We're talking about Mars, colonising, you know, that fantastic planet. I love this article on your website here about colonising Mars could be speeding up human evolution. Can you explain that?
Yeah, look, when we go there, we're going to be in a different environment. We're going to have low gravity. We've got high radiation. There's got to be different pressures on the human body. And it's going to may allow us to mutate, reproduce a different type of human being.
Really?
Than we have here. Yeah. We're going to be developing another branch of human society. And we're going to do it because nature will make it happen. When we have a colony of permanent people on Mars, and they live and work there, and then kids are born on Mars, they're going to be Martians, aren't they? That's what their certificates will read.
I suppose,
And with the lower gravity and the change of the lifestyle they'll be living in a different world like that, the bone structure won't need to be as strong. The gravity is not as strong. Chest cavity may be bigger because of the rarefied air. Just a whole bunch of environmental factors will change how human beings develop. And if you wanted to, you know, push a little bit forward with that idea and draw a bit longer bow, you can look at maybe 5 or 10 generations down the track. There's going to be a different looking, different type of human being develop. One that we did, we made, we engineered that. As a case of necessity to live on this world. And when those people do develop there, and they will, and we have generation after generation, if any one of them came back to their parent planet or their parents' planet, they came back to Earth here, they would find it very hard to walk, move around, anything. The pressure on them would be much greater. Because the gravity on Mars is only one-third of what it is here. So we're about to change the way that human beings look and develop, a new branch, if you will, of the human race.
Dave, it's a bit scary when you start talking about that sort of evolution, but you know, enough generations go by, it'll become par for the course. It's what happens in the universe. We change to adapt our environment. Interesting. All right, David. More at davidrenicki.com. Have a look at the link set up on our website. We'll catch you next week, David.
Yeah, talk to you then, Bill. Go, bye.